611 once welcome, always welcome. You're listening to Morning Devotion.
Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, good morning. This morning devotion is on Judges chapter 19. From chapter 17 to chapter 19 is the third section of Judges. And from chapter 3 to chapter 16 is to record the contents of the main contents of the book of Judges. And it also explains what the generation of the judges is like. And here we say that after the death of Joshua and the generation of Joshua has passed away, then the whole generation does not know God. And they do not know the Lord. They become another generation, a generation that doesn't know God. At that time, they worship idols, and they deserted God to a point that they cannot stand before the enemy. Initially, Joshua was promised by God that no one can stand before him, are able to withstand him. But in chapter 2, verse 4, it says that they cannot withstand the enemy because they do not know the Lord. And they do not know the things the Lord has done for them. So I'm telling you this so that you know the layout of the book of Judges. Chapter 3 to chapter 16 in the middle are the days of the judges. And we see the judges, they go from bad to worse. And they become bad, they go from bad to worse, even though they are judges. They do not really follow God. And the two chapters before and the five chapters later on, we can say that they echo each other. Especially these five chapters in the end, they keep on saying, during that time there was no king. And people do as they see fit. It's echoing before that they do not know God. They do not know the Lord, or they do not know the things He has done for Israelites. They become another generation. To a point that they are unable to withstand the enemy because they have deserted God. This is the whole message of the book of Judges. Even the best people in this generation, the people who can be used by God, that God can choose, are the judges that are recorded in chapter 3 to 16. But every one of them have problems. And their problems keeps on increasing. And when we come to Samson, they make the greatest problem. So this is a godless generation. That they are in the days that they cannot stand before the enemy. And you can say that the darkness have engulfed them. The darkness have engulfed the whole land. It's covered the people. And this is the circumstances. So when we look at chapter 17 to chapter 21, so this can be divided into two events. The first event is that whom we have spoken before. That the tribe of Dan. And their wickedness, like they were thieves and robbers. So it means in this generation, there are two signs that are summed up in two events. First, they say that they do not know God, so they end up like this. And in this dark generation, what are the signs that are most obvious? And these signs are so obvious that even during the days of Judges, it can be seen. These two signs can be summed up by two events. Chapter 17 to chapter 18 talks about the tribe of Dan and their problems. Where Micah was a thief and stolen his mother's money and made them into idols. And they chased after idols thinking it will bring them blessing. And they tried to control godly resources through religious practice. But the Levites were no good either. They went from Bethlehem to that place and found work there. And we share many things on this matter. But we saw that the tribe of Dan are even worse than Micah. Micah have stolen, but the tribe of Dan were robbing and raiding. So we can say that Micah was a thief, but the Dan, the tribe of Dan, are robbers. And they do as they see fit. They go from having no knowledge of God to a point where they will have to rob others to try to find God. What God has given them, they cannot receive. And so they have given up on it. The tribe of Dan do not want the place where God has given them. Instead, they went to Laish. They have robbed Micah of his idol and went to Laish and killed everyone there and established an idol there and established a religious center there. They think they will be blessed that way. But this actually brings about them a great calamity. And I didn't mention this yesterday, but the tribe of Dan, they have robbed someone of an idol. And Ephraim, the tribe of Ephraim, that is Micah. He is the first person to create an idol and establish an idol center. The first idol center of Israel is the home of Micah. And the tribe of Dan robbed him of it and went to Laish. And at Laish, become an idol center. And they changed the name and call it the city of Dan. So how does God see this? What are the consequences? Yesterday I didn't mention it, but when we jump to Revelation, when we come to Revelation, 404,000 of the 12 tribes in heaven. 144,000 people, 12 tribes. And in the 12 tribes, the tribes that were there were two tribes that were missing. It was missing Dan and Ephraim. In eternity, Ephraim and Dan were the tribes that were lost. The 12 tribes that were recorded in Revelation was that Levi, the tribe of Levi were filled in, and the tribe of Joseph had replaced Ephraim and Dan. So when they did this, not only are they unable to withstand the enemy, but they were lost in eternity. They lost their blessing. They lost their future. And what's the severity of this? Why was it like that? Because they made idols. Micah of Ephraim made idols. And in the land of Ephraim, there's a center of idols. And on the north, in the city of Dan, it's a center of idols. So they were lost forever. So what does it mean? To the people living in the days of the two kings in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is in the land of Benjamin. In the land of Benjamin. That is close to Ephraim. There, it's on the border. There, Jeroboam has made a golden calf and turned it into a religious center, an idol center. But also in the city of Dan. They made an idol and become and turn it into a center of religion, a center. Center of religion. And if the book of Judges was written in this time and is speaking to the people of that generation, then these two religious centers are both very sinful places. Then for the people living at that time, how can they make the decision? Who are you to follow? Where will you go? This is from chapter 17 to chapter 18. And today, when we're looking at the last three chapters, from chapter 19 to chapter 21, it's recording a different event. The first event is talking about thieves, robbery, robbing an idol to try and receive blessing. So they are so ignorant. And so foolish to a point that they were doing these. And the second event, it's also very, very wicked. The first thing is wickedness towards God. And the second is wickedness towards each other. And this wickedness also shows that they are idol worshippers. What is the event? It is that violence, rape and adultery. Adultery, violence. And not only towards a person. But even the whole tribe. This is really another generation. Another sign. Not only are they robbers, but they are in adultery. This adultery, when we read these three chapters, when we look at it in the perspective of the days of the two kings, this adultery has a lot of meaning. It actually symbolizes idol worship, that kind of adultery. during the days of the two kings, the Israelites, they went to these two religious centers and to worship the golden calf. It's actually idolatry. And as a result, the whole nation is in jeopardy. It's really hard to make a chapter and give it a title. Because there is, it's total darkness. There's no light. In chapter 19, there's not a single person that is good. And of course, when we read on, it's the same. There's no one good person. And this is such a generation. There was not one good person. So the title I give it is Corrupted People Will Cause the Whole Nation into Corruption. It is filled with darkness. I divided chapter 19 into three sections. It's really hard to three sessions. I've actually broken it up into five small paragraphs. Verse 1 to 9. The Levite from Ephraim and his concubine. This is the first paragraph. In those days, Israel had no king. Now a Levite who lived in the remote areas in the hill country of Ephraim took a concubine from Bethlehem in Judah. But she was unfaithful to him. She left him and went back to her parents' home in Bethlehem, Judah, after she had been there for a month. So this is the cause. Chapter 19 to 21, how it unfolds. It goes from bad to worse. And what was the reason? The cause. In those days, Israel had no king. There are no judges. They don't treat God as God. And there's no deliverance from God. And they become another generation. And at that time, everyone did whatever they want. People did whatever they want. Now, in those days, there were no king in Israel. This is the third time these words are repeated. There's no king, so people did as they see fit. So what will happen? These things happen because people did whatever they want. Now a Levite who lived in the remote areas in the hill country of Ephraim. This Levite here lives in the hill country of Ephraim. The hill country of Ephraim is where Jeroboam lived. He is an Ephraim. He especially mentioned the hill country of Ephraim. And we can see that in the book of Judges, after Gideon, the name Ephraim keeps on being mentioned. It's actually telling us, referring to Jeroboam, in the days of the two kings. Jeroboam, this Ephraim, have established these two idol centers. How should the Israelites decide? How should the 12 tribes of Israel, how do they decide? How do they choose between Jeroboam and Rehoboam? Jeroboam, this Ephraim. I feel that when it talks about the Levite from the hill country of Ephraim, it's referring to that place. It symbolizes Jeroboam. And took a concubine from Bethlehem in Judah. This Levi is not a good person. He took himself for himself a concubine. He's not taking for himself a wife. And he took a concubine from Bethlehem in Judah. Bethlehem in Judah actually appears for the second time. Before was a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah, went to the house of Micah, isn't it? And here it mentioned again, Bethlehem in Judah. How come it keep referring to Bethlehem in Judah? Now, King David, his father's family, his father's house, belong in Bethlehem, from Judah, in Judah. And Rehoboam is his son, or his descendant. But now, because of the sin of Solomon, God has sent the prophet Ahilan to them, Ahia, the prophet, to go to him and torn up his robe to 12 pieces, his garment to 12 pieces. So he went to Solomon. He prophetically, he torn up his new robe into 12 pieces and given 10 to Jeroboam and 2 to Judah. So he have divided his garment to 12 pieces. 2 belongs, 2 goes to Judah, to Rehoboam, and 12 went to Jeroboam. Now we see there's something very meaningful here. When you read on, there are a lot of symbolism and prophetic signs here. This Levi from the hill country of Ephraim took a concubine from Bethlehem in Judah. A Levi should not have a concubine, but he took for himself a concubine. That is to say, an Ephraim, people from Ephraim, they went to Judah to take for themselves people. This concubine actually points towards the people of Judah to take them. But the people in Judah points towards the people of Judah. Well, they committed adultery. They are people of adultery. Because Solomon has established many idols there. They too have deserted God. They too were in adultery. So she was unfaithful to him and went back to his father's house in Bethlehem, Judah. And her husband went to her and persuaded her to return. And this woman brought him to her father. And the father-in-law insists for the man to stay and do not want him to leave, and keep on hosting him. According to the Jewish law, he should be the host to them, this person, to this man, to the Levite. Here you can see that Rehoboam, who represent the tribe of Judah, really wants to host the Levites from all over. Even though this is what Jeroboam did, 10 tribes were given to him, and God forbid them from going to war. Rehoboam wants the people to come to Jerusalem. He wants to host them. He wants to retain them. Why was it written here that this father-in-law wants to retain this Levite? During the times of the two kings, the people of Judah really want the Levites to return. Oh, Levites and priests from all the land, come, come. Even though the northern kingdom belongs to Jeroboam, but come, the people, the family, the house of Judah wants the Levites from all of Israel to come. That's why the father insists on retaining this Levite. Now we know Rehoboam is not a good man. He's a tyrant. And he wanted to retain the Levites. So you can see here, the Levites, it was on the fifth day, only on the fifth day that he can be on his way and leave. So we look at this father-in-law. Is he a good person? Is he a wise person? No. That's why I said there's not a good person, not a single good person in this story. This Levi came to look for his concubine. He returned to his concubine. And we see this father-in-law who keep on trying to take hold of this Levi. Now, the couple have a family problem. So you should let them to speak, to communicate. But he didn't let them. He kept holding on to the Levite. In the story, this woman, the concubine of the Levite, have no status at all. Said nothing. Was completely out of the picture. But this father-in-law just kept on grabbing hold of the Levite and trying to retain him. On the surface, it's like he's hosting for him. But actually, it's actually not good for the Levite. It's actually making things worse. So this is talking about Rehoboam. It points to Rehoboam. Rehoboam doesn't speak of sense. What he does doesn't make sense. As a result, the Levite can only leave when the sun is about to set. So he's to go from Bethlehem and to go back to the hillside of Ephraim. It's actually a long way. So what should he do? This is where danger and tension stir up. At night, what is he to do? Where would he spend the night? The Levite care not. He will have to leave first. And we go to the second paragraph. Verse 10 to 15. The Levite went past or went to Benjamin, but the people of Benjamin did not receive or host them. So, a man from Judah went to Benjamin, but the Benjaminites did not host or welcome him. In verse 10, but unwilling to stay for another night, the man left and went towards Jebus. Now, Jubas, that is Jerusalem. Here, the author of Judges said that, well, at that time, the person went towards Jubas, that is Jerusalem. But he refused to enter into Jerusalem. Now, here, that is very meaningful. In the days of Rehoboam, he gathered the Levites, he urged the Levites and the priests to return. Now, the temple was in Jerusalem. He caused the Levites and the priests to come back and serve. But they made a decision, the Levites and the priests made a decision not to return. So here you see the Levite went towards Jerusalem, but he did not enter. The sun was setting. Had he went to Jerusalem, he would have been saved. Even though it is the land there are, at that time it is the land of the Gentiles. Today, when the people from the northern kingdom went to Jerusalem, it's like they were going to a place of the Gentile. Even though it belongs to the kingdom of Judah, but they have deserted God. So they are like the Gentiles. Have they entered into Jerusalem, they would not know what will happen to them. But now they don't enter into the city, to Jerusalem, then it creates an even greater problem. He went to Gibeah of Benjamin, but we see that the sun has set. Verse 14, the sun has set. They stopped to spend the night in Gibeah. They went and sat in the city square, but no one took them in for the night. Gibeah in Benjamin did not welcome them or host them. What is this saying? The Levites and priests, or the southern kingdom, Judah, the people of Judah. The people of Judah, you have left Jerusalem. You left the southern country and you are going north because Jeroboam is there. There's prosperity. There are two religious center, newly established religious center. Everything is new. Everything seems good. You went there. But actually, the Benjaminites would not welcome or host you. Even though Jeroboam really wants you to go, really wants you to go north, to leave Judah, to go there. But the tribes there would not welcome you. They will see you as though you're a Gentile that do not belong to them. Let's look at verse 16 to verse 21. But the Ephraim in Gibeah, that is in the land of Benjamin, there's an Ephraimite, an elderly, who is willing to take them in to his house. This old man also points to us or symbolizes Jeroboam. That evening, an old man from the hill country of Ephraim, who was living in Gibeah, the inhabitants of the place were Benjaminites, came in from his work in the fields. Jeroboam is an Ephraimite. But at Bethlehem, he has created a golden calf. In Bethel, there was the golden calf. Now, the city of Bethel is actually in Benjamin, in the land of Benjamin, and he created a religious center. and ask people to come. This old man, this Ephraim, from Ephraim, Jeroboam has established this religious center. And he hosts and welcomes these people. This Levite, this old man has welcomed this Levite from Ephraim who have took with him the concubine from Bethlehem into his house. Then from verse 22 to verse 26, the corrupted, the wicked Benjaminites raped repeatedly the concubine. Of this Levite. They repeatedly rape this concubine of the Levite from Ephraim, the concubine from Bethlehem. The concubine is from Judah. What is this saying? The people of Judah committed adultery and they were taken to Bethel, and in that place they were raped repeatedly. They were raped by the wicked people of the city. Who are these people? Verse 22. As they were enjoying themselves in their house, wicked men of the city surrounded the house. The wicked men of the city in the original text is translated to men of the city. Men of the city. In the Chinese, it was only translated as people of the city. These are actually wicked men. They are descendants of wicked men. These here talk about Benjamin. They are descendants of wicked men. And these wicked men surrounded the house. Not only did they not host and welcome this man, but they want to have sex with him. They want to have adultery, commit adultery and have sex with the men from Ephraim. They said to the old man, saying, hand this man over so that we can have sex with him. So this old man, Jeroboam, he said, no, do not do this outrageous thing. Here, there's my virgin daughter and there's the concubine of this Levite. So do not. Do this outrageous thing between a man and another man. Here, there are two women. I hand them over to you and you can do to them as you wish. But these men are unwilling. So you can see that this Levite from Ephraim. Verse 25. So the man took his concubine and sent her outside to them, and they raped her and abuse her throughout the night, and at the dawn, they let her go. This Levite took his concubine from Judah. This concubine who were unfaithful. The people of Judah indeed committed adultery. The people of Judah, they'd rather be a concubine of someone. They went to go to Ephraim, even if they have become a concubine. When you were in Jerusalem, you were not a concubine. But when you went to Bethel or to the golden calf, you become the concubine of someone else. But how does the Levite there treat you? Would they care or look after you? No.
So the man took his concubine and sent her outside to them. In the original text, this is a very detailed description. In the original text, it says, so the man seized the concubine. So the concubine, this Jew concubine from Judah, was actually refusing. She knows what this man is going to do to her. But the man seized her, dragged her out. And not only dragged her out. And the third verb, it means separate. He seized her, dragged her out, pushed her out, and separated her. So outside, there's just this concubine from Judah and the wicked men of the city. All the wicked men of Gibeah surrounded the house. And they raped her and abused her throughout the night. And only let her go at dawn. The man from Ephraim was so cruel. He cared not for his concubine. After he threw her out, what does he do? Next morning, verse 27. When her master got up in the morning and opened the door of the house and stepped out to continue on his way, there lay his concubine fallen in the doorway of the house with her hands on the threshold. He said to her, get up, let's go. But there was no answer. After he threw her out, he just slept in the house. He sacrificed this concubine from Judah to the people in the times of the two kings. Jeroboam will sacrifice the people of Judah. People of Judah, go up. You are a concubine. Be a concubine. But he wouldn't care for you. When this concubine was abused till dawn, and she crawled back to her home hoping to enter, but Jeroboam would not care for you. When this man from Ephraim, opened the door and wanted to be on his way, there lay his concubine with her hands on the threshold. He did not lower himself to save her. He said to her, get up, let's go. He is taking advantage of you. But this woman is dead already. The people of Judah, the Levites of Judah, listen. In the times of the two kings, this is what they ended up. This is how they end up. Go, have adultery. Go to Bethel. Commit adultery. Be a concubine. And you'll be cut up into 12 pieces. In the end, it say, this man of Ephraim cut up his concubine into 12 parts. And this again is symbolic. It was cut up into 12 parts and sent to the 12 tribes of the Israelites. The prophet Ahia divided his garment into 12 pieces, given 10 to Jeroboam. Meaning that 12 tribes will go to Jeroboam. 12 tribes will follow him. Here the concubine was cut up into 12 parts to send to the 12 tribes of Israel. The garment divided the north and southern kingdom. The northern kingdom has 12 tribes and 2 in the southern kingdom. Now this concubine is cut up into 12 parts and sent to the 12 tribes of Israel. And what did it bring about? It stirred up the men of 12 tribes to conquer and wage war against Benjamin. Civil war broke out because of this woman, because of adultery. Why the civil war broke out? Because there was no, at that time, there were no king. Israel had no king. So people did whatever they want. So corrupted men has caused the kingdom, the nation to be corrupted. Because at that time, Israel has no king and people did as they please. Now, in the time of the two kings, are you going to decide based on what you see? You rather leave Judah to be a concubine, to commit adultery. To be a concubine, it means to worship idol, to serve in those two religious centers, and become people of idolatry. And as a result, they end up being cut up into 12 pieces and brought about corruption of the whole nation, civil war, and more people will die. To us today, are there no king among us? No, we have God. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, is our Lord. Let us decide not based on just what we see. Let us not look at where is a good place, which country is a good place, or which person is a good king. Let us be pleased with what God has given us. And as we continue down this path, we will be blessed. Brothers and sisters of 611, we will even rise up. Not only we will go upwards, do not fall in this fallen generation, but we will influence this generation. We'll influence the world so that more people will come to know God. Throughout the whole book of Judges, it's talking about one thing. Canaanism. People are becoming more like Canaanites. Achan was Canaanismized. Or Canaanified. Today we have to guard our heart, not to let it be contaminated or corrupted by the world. Do not follow the world, but follow God in faith. Choose what God chooses. What God is saying is true and good. Not what we see is good. May God bless us. Dear Lord, we say, in this dark and twisted and rebellious generation, Lord, you are the true light. Lord, you are the light that shines in the darkness so that we may follow you. We have to choose you. We won't just look at the circumstances, but we will fix our eyes on you. For you are the light. And you are the one who lead our life from darkness into the light. Lord, we praise you.
Lord, we worship you. Jesus, we give you thanks and praise. You are our eternal light. Today we proclaim we have a king. We are not like the Jewish people where there was no king in Israel. For God, you are our king. Brothers and sisters, let's praise. Let's give thanks. Because today, God, become our king. Become our leadership, our leader. So that we are a nation with a king. Jesus, we give you thanks and praise. Lord, let us follow your true light so that we will not be lost. Thank you, Jesus. You are our everything. You are our king. Yes, Jesus, you are our King of Kings, and we will gaze upon you alone, and we will follow you alone. In this generation, in you alone are whom we worship. Brothers and sisters, here it says there's no king in Israel. In those days, Israel had no king. In the times we're living in a corrupted generation, are there really no king among us? We must choose. Are we to follow the kings of the earth or the King of Kings, Jesus? Let's think. In our life, a lot of the time do we make decisions based on what we see? What we deem is the best. Where is the most secure, peaceful location where we can make the most money? Where is the best for our children? A lot of the time we make our decision based on that. And so we wander around different places. We chase after these things, but in our hearts, do we magnify God? In all things, do we seek the Lord? Or do we only choose the benefits we can see with our eyes? Do we live by sight and not by faith? And as a result, we go from bad to worse. We descend. We are canified. We lost our influence and we chase after the world. We chase after our lust. We chase after the desires of our heart. And the pride in our generation. Let us pray for our lives. May the Holy Spirit help us. In this generation, we really need the Holy Spirit to help us, to strengthen us in our struggle. Holy Spirit, only you can help us. To help us make the right choice. to make choices of faith. Let us pray out loud. Let us pray for the Holy Spirit to help us. Let us pray in the Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Holy Spirit, may you forgive us. Lord, forgive us, for we live by sight and we do not live by faith. As a result, many curses arise. In our hearts, there are many idols, and we carve idols for ourselves. Before you, we have placed other gods. And so in the spirit, we have committed adultery. And in the flesh, we have fallen into adultery. And we were abused. We were hurt. And nobody cared for us and had mercy for us. And Lord, today we say we repent. We repent to you. We'll come back to our husband. We'll come back to you for mercy and compassion. We confess that we are wounded. We confess we are weak. And we are dead in our sins. But Holy Spirit, revive us. Let our hearts be restored and return to you. To trust in you alone. As our husband. As our provider. Lord, we say that we will no longer go and seek for our own provision from the world. You are our provider. You are our husband. And we say our benefits do not exceed you, and we follow you alone. And when I pray, I receive that we are brothers and sisters, or even our cell leaders, our co-workers. Today, our eyes are still fixed on our bank account. There are brothers and sisters where our eyes are fixed on our investments. And I can see that among us, there are those of us who just keep on looking up for information and news from immigration. If that is you, brothers and sisters, I invite you to place your hand on your heart. Let's reject being canified. Let's reject the culture of the world, the ways of the world who are tempting us. Let us set aside our hearts and our mind wholly to the Lord. Because we do not live in a time where there's no king. There is a king in us. Who is Jesus Christ? He will reign in our life. Let us pray. Let us get rid of all the idols in our hearts, the lust of the world, the thinking of the world. We will reject this culture that is influencing us. And brothers and sisters, co-workers, let us lift our hands and pray for all our brothers and sisters. We are one body. Today we are one body in the church. And we will reject this culture to enter the church, to this land. Let us pray out loud. If that is you, let us reject these things. Let us hand them over as Levites in the house of the Lord. We will intercede for the world. Brothers and sisters, let's stand. Let's stand and let's intercede and pray for the world. Lord, we are to reject this culture. Let us reject the voices. Jesus, we follow you alone. You are the only one in our life. And we say our eyes are only fixed on you. We renounce all fear and all idols.
Brothers and sisters online, we are all in our city, in our place. And let us pray for those who are living there with us. We do not want these violence of the world because they do not know God in us. There's violence, adultery. Let us confess for ourselves on behalf of our city. Do not think that another generation that doesn't know God is someone else's problem. It got nothing to do with me. But it is actually the problem of our city, of Gibeah, of our problem. And let us pray for our cities. I want to invite all our brothers and sisters to place your hand on your heart and repeat after me in prayer. Heavenly Father, may you give us grace. Even though the generation is dark and everyone has gone their own way and did as they see fit. But as for me and my household, we will follow you. Worship you, serve you. May you give us grace so that we will not go towards other gods, but we belong to you alone. And we will not be conformed by the world. Lord, help us. Us brothers and sisters, and along with the church, we become the light and the salt of the world. God, place for in us your heavenly laws. We believe in you. We seek your kingdom and your righteousness first. And everything we need, you will provide for us. Though we are living in a dark generation, but we live in abundance, for you are an abundant God. Bless us. Bless me and my city. In Jesus' name, amen. And I bless you. We'll see you again tomorrow. This is the end of our morning devotion today. Thank you.